If you have your Bible today, if you'd turn with us over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, I'd like to start reading in verse number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse number 12. If you'd stand, as our custom is, to honor the reading of the Word of God. If you've enjoyed that singing this morning, say amen.
Amen.
I'm glad I've got a copy of the Word of God. It's life-changing. There's power in the Word. I'd like to say we appreciate everyone that's prayed for the Robinson family this week. And if Miss Robinson's home going, I know Brother David, Miss Joyce, and family appreciates that from the church. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 12. Paul now is writing that had some confusion in the church about the resurrection. People were struggling, was it really real? I'm glad it's real. You know, we live in a day and hour where so many places are full of gimmicks and trickery. Nobody's got to prove to me that he lives, because I know he lives. He's walking in my heart. Ain't nobody never straightened me up like Jesus. I was bowed over like the lady in the gospel. And I was tired of looking at myself. I sure am glad Jesus come by and he touched her and straightened her up. And I'm glad he straightened me up this morning. Now, 1 Corinthians 15, 12, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there's no resurrection of the dead? If there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we've testified of God that he's raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. You may be seated this morning. Father, we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Help us in your word. God, may your word go out in power this morning. I pray you'd use us to be a blessing. God, I pray you'd put preaching in me and on me this morning. For I'm a needy preacher, and I pray you deal with hearts like only the Holy Ghost can do. Help us now, let preaching be easy. Thank you for this great day in our life, where we know our Savior lives. In Christ's name I ask you, amen and amen. I'm interested today in a text, verse of 13, where the Bible says, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. I'm going to preach on the thought this morning on if there had been no Easter. If there had been no Easter. Now let me tell you, Easter's not about a bunny rabbit. And Easter's not about a bunch of eggs laying on the ground. But Easter is about a resurrected King. The resurrected Savior who is the Lord Jesus Christ. I notice in the reading in the first passage of Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 3, he said these words, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. And if you've ever want to see a picture of the gospel, here it is. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Now that is the gospel this morning. Christ died. He was buried, and on the third day, he got up. That's the gospel. And so if there had been no Easter, I want to say, first of all, there would have been no Saviors fulfillment. There would have been no Savior's fulfillment. You'll notice that in Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 6, within the reading of that He died for our sins, that He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, I want you to notice, first of all, in the Savior's fulfillment, there was a heavenly work. Something had to happen here in order to get me and you there. And I want to say in this Savior's fulfillment, it was a heavenly work. Christ died. In Romans 5 and verse number 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Now, isn't that amazing? He died not for the good. You know why? Because there was none good. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. So therefore, when Christ died for the ungodly, that's me and you, He said, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. In other words, He said, people don't even die for good people. He said, much less for bad people. I'm glad you come up in here this morning, because you know who you're sitting with? Bunch of bad people that's been saved by the good hand of God. Aren't you glad in our wickedness He loved us enough to die for? Now, Paul's right, and he said, it's amazing to me that He died for the ungodly. He said, you know, there's nobody that'll give their self for a righteous person or a good person. But he said, Christ gave His self for the wicked and the ungodly. Now, there was a heavenly work. The Bible said that in verse number 5, He said, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Now, verse 8. But God commendeth His love toward us, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more, then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. The heavenly work. Now, we shall be saved by wrath how? Through Him. Not through the Baptist church. Not through the sacraments of religion. But only through Christ and Christ alone. Can I tell you that Christ had a heavenly work? Christ had a very heavy weight. The Bible said in 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 20. 1 Peter 2 and verse number 20. Talking about a heavy weight. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow His steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. Who when he reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judges righteously. Here it is, verse 24. Not only a heavenly work, but a heavy weight. Who His own self bare. Here it is, our sin. How heavy was it, Pastor? It was so heavy that it brought great drops of blood from the Savior in Gethsemane. It was so heavy, He bare our sins in His own body on the tree. Every sin that you and I would ever committed was placed on Christ by God. And He took our sins. He's the sin barrier. What a heavy weight. Could I tell you, my sins was enough to weigh me down in hell. But Christ took my sin. What strength, what stamina that our Christ had that God would put all of our sins upon Him on the tree. Oh, it was a heavy weight. It was a heavenly work. But I want to say, you'll notice that it was a holy writing. He said, according to the Scriptures. This world don't think much about this book no more as a whole. But let me tell you something, according to these Scriptures, it's all going to come to pass. Can I tell you that this Bible's not out of date? The newspapers just ain't caught it yet. Can I tell you everything that's going to come to pass is already pinned down? Can I tell you, you can believe these Scriptures and you can take them to the bank and you can lock them in the vault, because everything that's in this King James Bible has either come to pass, or it's in the present, or it's coming to pass. And He said, according to the Scriptures. I'm glad that the Savior's fulfillment is real. Now, you'll notice this. He said that I came according to the Scriptures. In Isaiah, most familiar verse, in chapter number 53 of Isaiah 53. You'll notice this in our Bibles. He says, verse number 3, He's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised and we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. Watch in verse 6 now. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord, here it is, hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted. Yet He opened not His mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb. So He opened not His mouth. Verse 10, this is amazing to me. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. This morning I'm glad that there is an Easter. If there had not been an Easter, there would have been no Savior's fulfillment. But you'll notice this, back over to where we read when we stood to honor the reading in 1 Corinthians 15, verses number 12, there would have been no sinner's forgiveness. Where would we have been if there had been no Easter with our sin? Paul is very sure in his writing, and he tells us just how important this day is in our life. He says this on the sinner's forgiveness in verse number 12. If Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you there's no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And watch this, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If there had been no Easter, there had been no Savior's fulfillment. But secondly, there would have been no sinner's forgiveness. I want to talk just a minute in Hebrews 7 about His mediation. I'm glad there is a mediator. Now that's a big word for country people. But I want to tell you simply what this means and explain it to you the best I know how in Hebrews chapter number 7 on the sinner's forgiveness. Paul said if he would not have gotten up, you'd still be in your sin. Why? I'm going to show you in the Bible. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 7 and verse number 24, his position. His position. The Bible said, but this man, because he continueth ever, he has an unchangeable priesthood. Verse 25, not only his position, but his practice. Wherefore he is, watch this, here's a good Bible word. He's able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Seeing, here's the thought, he ever liveth to make intercession for them. What is an intercessor? What is a mediator? If Christ had not got up, there'd been no sinner's forgiveness. You know why? Because when he died, he had to get up to go and sit on the right hand side of the Father to mediate or to be a go-between for me and you. If Christ was still in the grave, we could not reach God this morning. But because he got up and because he lives, he is a mediator unto men. Now what's that mean? It means that Christ stands before God and man. It means that Christ stands before man and God. And he brings us together. Honey, listen, if he hadn't got up the third day, there would be no mediator. We'd all be in hell in our sin. We'd be hopeless and wretched. But I'm glad he got up and he took my sins and he's there on the right-hand side of God making intercession for me and you. Now, when I want to get saved, you know how you get saved? You trust him, the mediator. Matter of fact, the Bible's very, very expressive about what he says because he don't want nobody to miss it. Look what he says. He says he can save them to the uttermost. I like what the old country preacher said, boy, he can't only save them to the uttermost, he saves us to the guttermost. I don't care how low you are today, I'm glad God's hand can reach down by his son this morning. I've done some bad things, neighbor. But I'm glad that his blood's forgiven me of all my sins. He said that he, watch this now, he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He ever lives now to make intercession for sinners. Anybody that call upon Christ, he said, I'll reach up and get a hold to God and I'll get a hold to you and I'll be a mediator and bring you together. Me and Miss Renee was eating the other day at the Chinese restaurant. They had their little Buddha there on the table. And I got to thinking how sad it is to have their faith in somebody that's still in the grave. How bad it is, friend, for somebody to have their faith in a bag of bones that's still in the graveyard. But let me tell you, he's not here and there are no bones about it. You hear me this morning? He ain't there and it ain't no bones about it. He got up out of the tomb, glory. I'm glad he's on the right-hand side of the Father. Now, I want to tell you today, the sinner's forgiveness. You'll notice this. For such a high priest became us, who's holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice first for his own sin. No pope can get you to heaven this morning. No Baptist preacher can get you to heaven this morning. But we can show you and tell you how to get to heaven. Watch this. Who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the peoples, for this he did once when he offered up himself. I want you to look at something I found in verse 28. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmities, like me and you. But the word of the oath which was since the law maketh the Son, capital, who's consecrated forevermore. Now there's the longest word in the Bible. Look, evermore. That's a long word, friend. Ever. How long is ever? That's a long time. But God said, I'm going to king that. I'm going to put something on that that Ajax will never take off. He said, it's not only ever, but more than ever. And wherever you can find ever stops, it goes further than there. And I'm glad He said every day of the week He's our intercessor. Thank God He don't take a day off. I'm glad He don't have a holiday. I'm glad He's on the throne this morning. I'm glad He loves old sinners. I'm glad He's standing before God the Father. I'm glad we can come to Him by faith. I'm glad we're saved by grace. I'm glad He loves the sinners. Thank God I'm glad He got out of the grave this morning. You say, preacher, if there was no Easter, you mean there'd be no Savior's fulfillment? No, it wouldn't. If He'd got up, it'd just been an old grave. But He got up. We see the Savior's fulfillment, the sinner's forgiveness, but lastly, there would have been no saint's future. Look what Paul said back to that text verse. This gets exciting to me. He said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Won't stop right there just a minute. If there had been no Easter, there had been no Savior's fulfillment, there would have been no sinner's forgiveness, and there would have been no saint's future. Look, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. You look up here this morning, I'm fixing to be done. I'm a blessed man. I pastor one of the greatest churches in America. I got saved in 1981 by the grace of God. I've got one of the greatest wives that a man could ever imagine to have. I got some of the greatest children. I got some of the greatest grandchildren. But let me tell you something. If in this life only I had hope in Christ, I'd be of all men most miserable. I think a lot of times a lot of you don't understand something. And I think it's one of the most powerful verses I've ever seen. Miss Julie, you be coming. I think it's one of the most powerful verses that I've ever found. And I want you to look at it, and I want you to mark it in 1 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 3. If it had been no Easter, there had been no Savior's fulfillment. There had been no sinner's forgiveness. And there would have been no saint's future. But I'm glad I have a place. 1 Timothy 2, I want you to look how simply this about the mediator and salvation is unfolded. It's so simple if you'll just listen to me. I want you to listen now. Listen just a minute, I'm closing. Listen to me. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. In other words, what I'm fixing to read, this is good in the sight of God. Who will have all men. Here's the greatest Bible word to be saved. And come unto the knowledge of the truth. Now watch, here it is, so simply unfolds. For there's one God and one mediator between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus. So, time out. Here I am. Look, see the bottom of this capstone, this post? See this? This is me. This is God. I can't get there to here without this. This is between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus. And He said, there's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Here we are. But we must access the go-between, which is Christ. We must come unto Him. Did you see that? That come unto God by Him. You got to come to God by Christ, His Son, in order to get to where He is. Now, I want to say this. I'm glad I've got a place Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go away, I'll come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I'm glad I've got a place. I'm glad I've got peace. And I'm so glad I've got a promise. I've got a place with God at the Father's house. I have a mansion. You see, if there had been no Easter, if he had not got out of that dark, lonely tomb, there had been no Savior's fulfillment. We wouldn't have the gospel today. There would be no sinner's forgiveness, and there would be no saint's future. We buried Brother David's mother this week. We really didn't bury her. We just buried her body. Because the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord if we know Him by His Son. There was a coffin. God spoke to my heart about this verse as a preacher was reading with me. I'm glad there was an Easter. There's nobody here perfect. Some of you, you're waiting until you can live it. You're going to die and go to hell in your sin because you'll never be able to live it. But you can receive it by faith. You see, He sent His Son for a go-between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus. Now, the most important thing you're ever going to hear in your life is this. Pastor, how do I get saved? I come by faith and I grab hold of the man, Christ Jesus. And I cry, oh, save me. And give me to God. In your own way this morning, whatever you need. There's a lot of people in this church this morning. I'm glad you're here. But if you leave today lost, you've missed everything. Because He loves you so that He died for you. Now I want to ask you right now, as my sister sings, there'd be people that come down and pray with you if you want to come. You may simply want to come right by yourself. You say, well, Pastor, how do I get saved and know that I can have eternal life? He said, all that come unto Him, He would in no wise cast out. If you'll come to Christ this morning, He can do something for you that nothing else can do. Give you eternal life. As my sister sings,